Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Neo FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, we'll be joined by our soccer correspondent, Michael Hopkins, who will reflect on the League of Ireland season so far and help us look at some of the big soccer-related stories. And I'm delighted to say Michael is on the line. Michael, how are you? We haven't talked in a while. It's great to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too. Paddy, you're well? Yep, hope you're the same.
Yeah, all good, all good. Looking forward. Even though the Premiership is over, there's still a lot of things to look forward to. And I'm going to start with the League of Ireland, Michael, if I may. We're kind of halfway through the League of Ireland season. And your own St Pat's, it's been, I'd suggest it's been up and down season. How do you assess, I know there's a new manager there, but I know you go to most Fridays. From what you've seen in the last few weeks, can you see it being a positive end of season for them?
I can honestly say, Paddy, I do not know what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks with St. Pat's, because myself and any of the Pat's fans that I've spoken to, we can't seem to figure out what's going right when we're winning games. And we can't seem to put our finger on what's going wrong when we're losing games. It doesn't look like the players have a set plan as what they're known what to do. And it doesn't, but they're not doing the wrong things, but they're also not doing the right thing. It's very, very confusing at the moment, to be honest.
And do you think that's a bedding in? Sorry if I couldn't cross you. Do you think it's a bedding in period that the new manager, Liam Buckley, was there for so long? Is it just that it's a bedding in period and this project will take a while?
I think that's what we're all hoping for. I think every Pats fan has definitely given Harry Kenny plenty of time to stamp his own authority on this. There's been a decent changeover in playing staff there. And we're winning games, but when we're winning games, it concerned me that Mikey Drennan seemed to be the only one being able to hit the net. And he was the reason we were winning games. We're winning games 1-0, maybe 2-1. We're not scoring a lot of goals, but we're also not conceding a lot of goals. So I think betting in definitely was taking place over the first couple of weeks of the season. Around about this time, I would have hoped to see some sort of shape, some sort of game plan, some sort of way that we're playing football. And maybe that's taken a bit longer to bet in than it normally does. I just hope that that's it, because we don't know where we are right now, to be honest.
And there was an encouraging performance. I thought from the reports of the performance against Dundalk, away to Dundalk, that seemed to be a very, very encouraging performance that day.
Yeah, the last couple of games, the game with Bowes was very encouraging. The recent game, a couple of games with Derry where we got a draw, and then we also got a win, have been encouraging. We looked solid enough. We weren't creating a huge amount of chances, but then we were playing some good football. We were unlucky against Dundalk. I think the goal was probably undeserved. But then when we beat them in Richmond Park, we had the benefit of an own goal to get a 1-0 win there. So I think karma kind of just came along and bit us there, to be honest. But like I said, a couple of encouraging results, but it's difficult to see where it's coming from. So I'm just hoping then at the next couple of weeks, you've got a tough game on Friday, and I'm hoping that we can see something kick on from them. A good home game against Cork. Cork are starting to improve in the last couple of weeks. So if you can kick on and get a good result on Friday, then I think there's something to build on over the next couple of weeks then.
Yeah, and would you be expecting the first game of the season was a 1-0 win for Pats there? Would you be expecting another positive result on Friday night?
I'd hope so. I think we could win. I think Cork have improved, but from what I've seen of Cork, even in the very first game of the season under John Caulfield, they were absolutely awful. And I think you could nearly see, when they actually let him go, it was probably the right decision given how the results and how they were playing. It picked up, but I still think the squad is a lot weaker than it was. I still think they'll probably be absolutely nowhere near the top two, which is being proven by the table at the moment. So I would expect that we're as good as the teams around us at the moment: Bowes, Derry, Waterford, Cork. And I think on any day one of those can beat the other. So at home, I would be confident enough we could get at least a draw and maybe a tight win.
Yeah, and it is. It looks very exciting. That you would assume, as things stand, that it's going to be a face-off between Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk for the title. But it's very, very tight below them. So it's that. That's going to be another. A lot of people will be focused on the championship battle, but that battle for third spot is going to be fascinating in the next few weeks. And it's just as you say at the outset, whoever can get consistent, and if a team can get a run together, third place could be theirs for the taking.
Absolutely. I think I haven't seen the reports now of how long Dinny Corcoran is going to be out for Bowles, but
yes,
that could be a big blow to them. He scored most of their goals this season. Pat's Mikey Drennan has been in good form. And then also Dinin, who's played for Waterford, has been scoring a couple of goals. So you're right, I think they're all at a very similar level. And it'll be a good battle. I think on the day, they're all as good as each other. And I think it'll be a good battle for sort of third, fourth spot. Because like you said, I think the top two are the top two, very similar to the Premier League. They're just that little bit above what's below them. And I think the bottom two are almost cast adrift at the moment as well. So everything is going to take place in those little groups of teams from sort of third down to seventh, really.
And that title race, that battle between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, how do you see that playing out? Who would you expect to come out on top?
At the start of the season, I fancied Rovers to take the league. And that's purely because I thought the talent that they had in midfield would be too good for nearly anything else in the league. And I had my doubts about how Dundalk would cope with Stephen Kenny being away. Now, in hindsight, I think I was right with Rovers. I think they've probably got the best squad in the league, possibly except for Dundalk. What the problem with Rovers having is, I looked through the goal scorers today, and none of the centre-forwards are scoring a huge amount of goals. I know they brought in Aaron Green. Aaron's never been a really prolific goal scorer at any club he was at. So when the goals from midfield dry up for Rovers, that would be a worry. Whereas Dundalk, Hoban has continued to hit the net, and he seems to be key there. My money is still on Rovers. I think they're good enough, especially with Jack Bourne, if he can pick back up the form he had early in the season. I think they're good enough to do it. The question I'd have over them is Bradley now able to manage the expectation towards the end of the season? Rovers fans, big club, the fan base will expect a league title to come in the next couple of years. So if he's able to handle that pressure, then they can do it. If not, then it could be the end of the line for him, to be honest.
And Michael, we've spoken on the show before about Niall Quinn's proposals, and we're hoping on Friday we're going to have something, because it's all been a bit vague at the moment. But he basically has a plan to further reform and the improvement of Irish football. What in particular, I know you'll be keeping an eye on it on Friday, what in particular would you be looking at to kind of, what is kind of needed in them proposals to kind of, for someone like you that loves Irish football, to kind of get behind and think that it's a viable option?
I think what has to happen in this instance is the clubs have been pushing for this for a while, is that they want some sort of responsibility for running themselves, for the marketing around the league, when it comes to the finances around the league. What he needs to be able to do in this situation is bring all of the clubs on board and sell them a plan that they can all agree upon and they can all get behind and believe in. Because Irish football is very fractured. You've got the schoolboy clubs that look after their own interests. You've got the League of Ireland clubs then that are separate to that. And then the FAI are very much focused towards the national team and even towards the women's game. So all of these sections need to come together and be able to agree on this plan. Now, like you said, it's very vague, very vague. I think one of the big issues is the level of investment. The two things he said was he wants to bring in larger companies and have them invest in sort of sponsorship. That would be a fantastic idea if that can be done correctly. And the second is to avail of some sort of government support. But the big question would be is, no large companies are going to invest in the League of Ireland unless they're going to see some sort of return, be that marketing, be that some sort of kickback, be it a monetary or advertising or something like that. And the second one is, the government are going to want to see a plan that incorporates the underage. side of the game, where more people are encouraged into sport, the health benefits, how this could benefit schools and education and stuff. So it's got to be a very detailed plan. It can't be too vague. And the reason why a lot of League of Ireland fans are reacting with scepticism is we just don't know.
Mm.
It sounds like a great idea, but I think everyone's holding fire until they actually see what the details contain. But at least it started a conversation, and it has people talking about what's needed. And that can only be positive.
Yeah, well, we just hope on Friday there's a bit more details. Now, I'm switching around different topics in soccer, because Michael, because we haven't spoke to you in a while, and we just want to get your take on a few issues. And we've spoke to you before about Newcastle, and I know you're a big Newcastle fan, and like all Newcastle fans, you're frustrated with Mike Ashley's running off the club. But we've... big use, a new Arab investment coming in, a proposed $350 million takeover of Newcastle. I was reading about it today, and it looks like it's one of these. It could be a runner. I think you can correct me if you're wrong. It looks like the Premier League have to just look over to see whether this new potential owner is fit and proper. As a Newcastle fan, you must be very excited with this potential investment.
Yeah, I'm in very similar in a way to the Niall Quinn investment.
Yes,
in
it's a bit vague.
Every Newcastle fan I've spoken to is just holding off and holding off and holding off about getting excited about this, because there's been too many false dawns from Mike Ashley. He's promised to sell before. There's been every time something comes up, or a protest is due, or at this moment in time Rafa Benitez's contract is up for renewal, another story is released about a possible takeover, and it just seemed to cover the cracks and keep the fans sweet or preoccupied until that issue was actually dealt with. So this seems the most likely that it will happen. I don't think the other ones have gotten this far, and the noises coming from one side seem very positive. There's very little noise from Mike Ashley's side to make any confirmation, but then again, it's very difficult to read anything that man does, to be fair. If it goes through, I think most fans will be absolutely delighted. For me, from a football, purely football point of view, I would be delighted to see the back of him. There might be some investment in the club. There might be some investment in the community. And the team might be able to compete again, and that would be great as purely a football fan. I think there is actually a very small element of fans then that look at where the money is coming from. Man City have gotten a lot of criticism in the last number of weeks about the owner's background and where the money comes from. It's a catch-22 situation. Do you go out of the frying pan and into the fire? Is it better the devil you know? So again, I think a lot of people are being very sceptical. They'll be glad to see the back of Mike Ashley if he does go, but then they're waiting to see what's in store then at that point.
Yeah, you raise an interesting point, because there's so much investigations into the Man City ownership, and I think the potential investor is related to the Man City owner, so it's going to be it is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But turning to we've a massive game on Saturday, the Champions League final. It's Jurgen Klopp aiming to he's a horrible record in finals. He's lost six finals, and there will be favourites against Tottenham. Would you be the lost outs agonisingly in the Premier League? Would you be expecting them to win the Champions League now on Saturday?
I think my heart says Tottenham Hotspur. In all honesty, I have no connection with Spurs, but I think it would be a fantastic story for Maurizio Pochettino to get them there, having made no signings. And it's a club that has always been associated with sort of glorious failure. I think it would be fantastic. I know a couple of Spurs fans, and it's beyond their wildest dreams at the moment that they're even in the final. And I think Liverpool fans have been here before in recent years, so they know what that success about the Champions League is about. And it was a strange end to the season, because I nearly felt that if Liverpool and Man City could have swapped, that they would have been happier.
Yeah.
The City would have been happier to win the European Cup.
Yeah.
And yeah. Liverpool would have been happy to win the Premier League. And they ended up in the opposite end of the competitions. I honestly think if I go logically, I think Liverpool have too much for Spurs.
Mm.
And it really depends. Spurs will have to play extremely well and hope that Liverpool don't play well.
Mm.
Because I think if Liverpool play to the way that they can, that they'll overrun Spurs and they'll have too much. I also have no clue how close to fitness Harry Kane is.
Mm.
And that's a massive blow if he's not available.
Mm.
And something that could really affect Spurs going into that. If he's fit, ready to go, that's a big boost for Spurs, a big confidence boost going into that game. But I think my heart says Spurs, but my head says Liverpool.
And I wonder, Michael, it might be a factor or it mightn't. It's kind of been strange. It's been a couple of weeks since the season ended. Do you think that might be a factor? Because when you look at, say, Liverpool, they were kind of playing a game every 2-3 days. They're really focused on their job. I know they're training. They're doing some warm weather training. I don't know where they are. I forget it. But do you think there might be kind of a fatigue or a rustiness factor in this match? Because the teams, it's been a couple of weeks since both have played. So do you think that could be a factor?
I have a feeling that the break may do Tottenham more favours than it will do Liverpool. Like you said, there was a momentum behind Liverpool and they were winning games. They weren't blowing teams away towards the end of the season, but there was a momentum, a belief behind them that they could win every game. And when they didn't ultimately win the league, I wonder, is there a bit of a drop-off in intensity then?
Mm.
And they might feel a bit deflated.
Mm.
And then you break that rhythm that they were in. Whereas Tottenham looked to be running out of gas towards the end of the season. And they had a smaller squad. They hadn't made any signings, as I said. And the rest period might just reinvigorate a lot of those players. I think it might even give them a chance to get a couple of players who are injured back up to fitness to actually even feature. If it's a break, that means Harry Kane is back, then they'll be delighted with it. But I also think someone like Harry Winks could be a big factor coming back into their midfield, where they've been really short the last number of weeks. So I think the break for me seems to have been in Tottenham's favour, to let them re-energise, refocus, focus on one game. And Pochettino is a very good manager when it comes to one-off games and setting his team up to do a very specific job. So that, for me, is a bonus to Spurs. But again, we're assuming that Liverpool won't have that momentum and they could come roaring out of the blocks and do as they normally do.
And if Spurs do go on to win, I think we'll need to see Brian Kerr, St. Pat's legend there. It'd be great to see his reaction again. It was a great reaction. It was great to see Brian getting...
More Brian Kerr we have on TV, the better for me, Paddy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, if we could start a petition to have Brian commentate more games, he adds so much colour.
Yeah.
And he's honest about his opinions, you know, and he's a very relatable character as well. So, yeah, I'd be delighted to see his reaction if they did.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Michael, you've been very generous with your time. Thanks a million for joining us. And we no doubt we'll be chatting to you as the League of Ireland season develops. Thanks a million and enjoy the football over the next few days.
You too, Paddy. I'll talk to you soon.
That was great. That was Michael Hopkins filling us in on all soccer related issues and a lot of interesting events coming up. So, and we'll be covering that right throughout the summer. Welcome back to Be on the Back Page on New FM, the sports show here every Thursday at 5 p.m. on New FM. You can listen back to all our shows on our podcast page. If you search newfm.ie and search Beyond the Back Page, you can listen back to any of our shows. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Beyond the Back Page. And if you have any guests or any topics or any feedback for us, please get in touch with the station. And more, we, of course, will have more sport on Near FM on Saturday. Fergus Carroll will have his Saturday sports show at 10:30 on Saturday morning, and he'll have a wrap up on Sunday night of all the results from the local and national area in his results show. It's pretty much it for this week. I'll just run through the highlights for the next couple of, the weekend. We've some great GA matches. Just looking at, we've a double header on Saturday in the Munster Championship. It's Cork against Limerick and Clare against Kerry, and there are 7 p.m. kickoffs. And on Sunday we have Kildare and Longford play at 3 p.m. That's a replay in the quarterfinals of the Leinster Championship, and that is at 3 p.m. And in Ulster, a massive match, Cavan hoping to get to Ulster final, playing against Armagh. They had a great one against Monaghan, so they'll be looking to get to Ulster final. So an interesting match there. In the GAA Hurling Senior Championship, Dublin will be hoping to get off on winning ways when they play Carlow at 3 p.m. That's away in Carlow. And in the Munster, we had a break in the Munster Hurling Championships last weekend, but we have two mouth-watering games on Sunday. 2 p.m. Waterford hosts Limerick, and at 4 p.m. Another excellent, intriguing battle. Clare will play high scoring Tipperary. That will be at Ennis. That's pretty much it. Of course, we have to say best of luck to Katie Taylor. She's a massive fight on Saturday night, and the whole country will be behind her. But that's it for this evening. I'd like to thank Michael Hopkins, a regular contributor, our League of Ireland correspondent, for joining us earlier in the show. That's it. Thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you at the same time next week.